This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, the heroes come to a marshy crossroads.
You've got a direction going to the left, a direction going to the right.
And debate the best way forward.
What are we going to do? What is the decision? Are we lighting the fort or not?
Let's cross that bridge if we come to it.
We almost just fell off the last bridge.
No, I know, a metaphorical bridge, not the actual bridge we just crossed.
Got it.
Very literal-minded dwarves.
And just as their new abilities grant them the resolve to move on.
Like, for example, if we need someone riding around on the back of a dog, stabbing at people's shins.
Lexington's like...
We've got Will. If we need people spouting off one-liners and using religious dogma as justification for shooting people, we've got Batman. And if we want moody teens who break into dance at unexpected moments, we've got Della. And there's Umlo. He does, you know, he can speak in a very low voice.
Something appears out of the darkness.
You must think you're something special, don't you?
Ooh.
Oh, oh, oh.
The adventure continues now.
That's right. The Glass Cannon Podcast is back. Last week, we threw the old classic Encounters for Four PCs book right out the window and tried something a little different. The focus groups in our Las Vegas facility really seemed to respond well, especially in women over 65. I think it was Skid's Alec Guinness impression that really put us over the top there. And I do really look forward to you settling in to episode 122 today. I think you're going to like it. Some good role-playing in this one. An aspect of the game that's been unfortunately lacking, in my estimation, most recently. But it's because it's been tough to keep up with in this enormous sandbox of Minderhall's Valley. But I really like that we had an opportunity to get it in this week. But on to business. For those of you that are supporting us on Patreon, you know that things have been a little quiet lately. But rest assured, the midnight oil is burning. And it smells like bonus content to me. That's right! Disorganized Play is on the books to be released in October, and I hope you are all as excited as I am. I can't say anything more at this time, though I really want to. But for now, though, please know that we are on it, and it is coming. Speaking of things on the docket, guess what else we're doing this very week? You'll never guess. Never! We are finally recording our sound set for Sirenscape. Ben Looms of Sirenscape has been helping us put together a really fun sound set for you guys to bring the audio of the GCP into your games week in and week out. Niccolo originals, Tom Exposition highlights, Baron one-liners. I can't say anymore. I signed an NDA. I simply can't, but it will be worth the wait. Trust me. We will keep you posted on all of that. Before we get to 122, though, I'd like to do a shout out to one of our most loyal and dedicated fans out there, Jack Daniel Morris, or Dan for short. I'll take you back a long time ago in GCP land, during a time when Barry Connick Jr. didn't yet have a name. We were just getting to know a strange Kyall named Delanarn, and Awiga was a wise and trusted ally. We mentioned back in episode 53 that a member of GCP Nation, Matt Ireland, was going through a tough time. And you see, here's the thing about GCP Nation. You don't write in and ask for your own shout out when you're going through a tough time. A friend writes in, a companion, someone that knows you need a pick-me-up and a reminder that you're not alone when life is really testing your mettle. We wouldn't have known about Matt or what he was going through if it wasn't for his buddy Dan. And now, over a year later, Dan has found himself, unfortunately, in a similar situation. Matt reached out to us to say that he's doing better, but his friend Dan could use a little GCP love. Well, Dan, you should know that there's nothing I love more than when GCP Nation looks out for each other. And I hope you know that we're thinking about you today. This one's for you, buddy. Please enjoy episode 122, Swamp and Circumstance.
I think I, in my lifetime, have only had one character reach over 10th level. Have you guys had a lot of characters of yours reach 10th?
I've had
10th and above.
Two, I think.
Two?
Two total, yeah.
In our first game together, when I met Skid and became better friends with you, and then in our Jade Region campaign.
Correct. Those are the only two.
Even when you were a kid, never got that far?
Yeah, no, I never got to 10.
Yeah, because I multiclassed a lot as a kid, and it was impossible because you had to level up individually. You just never, if you multiclass, forget it.
Yeah, right. Multiclass. There was also a cap. There was also a level cap anyway.
I'm level.
Because you had to be a demi-human to multiclass, and they had level caps on them, like in at least in first edition. I can't remember second edition.
Yeah, it's
plus you're splitting all of your XP.
Yeah, all the XP
classes or three classes.
It's like splitting it between characters. You would split it between classes. It was
right.
Impossible. What about you, Skid? Did you ever get that high?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had a lot of
and I just played a ton. So
Were you always starting from first level?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, almost every time. The one first big campaign, my Scourge of the Rune Lords campaign that I played in middle school, we started, I think, at fourth level.
Okay.
Or fifth, but yeah. Otherwise, yeah.
Graham, you're over 10th now in the Rise of the Rune Lords campaign, right?
ODOK's 15 now?
I think 14 or 15. Yeah.
14 and 15.
Wow.
Yeah. Also a day one character. And yeah. Also the cheesiest class besides Gunslinger.
Absolutely.
Trying to water that down. I didn't realize. Anyway.
He's a badass.
15th. Wow.
And now, like, he just steps right up to people and does 120 points of damage from his sword. And, like,
he's a barbarian. 15th.
Yeah. He has bite and claw attacks when he rages.
And horns, too, right?
Horns.
He's got the horns. Gore
so
attack.
He gets, like, six or seven attacks.
Matthew, you're in the Jade Region campaign now as well, and you guys are 13th level or 12th?
12th.
12th, yeah.
12? Is it 13th? I thought it was 12th.
I don't remember.
We haven't played
in 10 months.
Yeah. Though that character started at 10th level, because I came into the game
right,
late.
You came to the game late.
Oh, yeah. You know what's easy? Starting with a, what is it, 8th level cleric, 2nd level ninja?
Yeah. No.
opening with that.
Yeah.
I was so stressed during those games, because all I would do is sit there and read spells. And I'd be like, what happened?
It is so hard to just start a 10th level character, which is why...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really frightened of the idea of losing one of these characters here, because as fun as a backup character idea is, starting it at 10th level is
very
really difficult to play it right.
We'll see. Like, look what happened with Della. I didn't learn spell combat and spell strike going through the levels, and then
until 2 weeks ago.
Until no, I still know how to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys are now a rest away from going to 10th level.
We go to sleep on the bridge at 11 a.m.
Well, I'll right on the bridge. This looks safe.
Sir Will has those eye covers that he uses on flights.
Mask.
One of the neck pillows.
While he's riding Lexington, just dozing off,
just watching Netflix.
I imagine he has like those glasses that have the open eyes, so he can just like nap.
He's listening to Christian rock. Yeah. You're my dog, is my life. Love you, my dog, so much.
You guys get to the other side of the bridge,
and the ground immediately, you can tell, is growing soft and muddy in this branch of the valley. And you can tell that at any point, you are going to be in the middle of a swamp.
Oh, no.
You've got a direction going to the left, a direction going to the right, all looking rather swampy and boggy up ahead. You remember from your, what you saw in the cave painting was that, you know, Mimrith the Maker's place is in a swamp.
Oh, right. That's right.
So you know heading in the right direction, but this is going to make movement very, very difficult.
And this is the clay, right? This is
the last piece.
The last piece.
Mimrith the Maker.
So we took a bridge to Terra Mimrithia.
Get out.
That was excellent, Matthew.
You.
That was excellent.
You feel like this place, before you get into the deeper part of the swamp, is as good as any to rest. Recover. Not all of you took a beating. Umlo got crunched. Sir Will got crunched a little bit. So you guys bear down for the night, infused with this energy of winning the battle, and you feel like you're becoming more powerful.
Point of order.
Yes.
Does Umlo level up?
Umlo levels up one.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he will go. So nice. He will be ninth, and you guys will all be 10th.
Nice.
So awesome.
Like
before
it.
You get to the level. Meanwhile, back.
Furiously rolling random encounters.
Meanwhile, back with Fungfar.
Just as you were about to level up.
Fungfar walks through Minderhall's Valley.
Oh, no.
No. just want to check in on Fungfar. You guys feel so close now to this last piece of the puzzle. You've been all over this friggin' valley. Had to come back into it after discovering the cathedral. You just feel like you're fetching these items, but you're not 100% sure what or why. You have your reasons. You feel compelled to do it. And now you feel like you're almost there. What's this feeling in camp? Another near-death experience. I mean, even though you handled that encounter pretty well, Umlo could have very easily gotten thrown off. Any of you could have. And now you feel like you're coming to the end, and do you even have a concept of what is going to happen once you get all these things, once you relight the forge? What's going on in everybody's head? Play it out.
Well, I think Nestor is... He's sort of itching... It's so close to getting his revenge that he's wanted for so long now. He can smell it. And it's getting so close he can almost reach out and touch it. He's a bit anxious. But at the same time, as far as like the recovering these items and the promise of power and everything, he's wary of that, because if it involves acquiescing to some greater power... He's not interested in that, so he's sort of... He's just wary about that part.
Does he think that he might have to acquiesce to some greater power to be able to take on Orathash? Or does he think he can just take him out?
Nestor, like, I think he believes in himself and his abilities enough that he's like, I don't need it. If that's something that's offered to me and it's like, going to need it, it's like, I don't need it. I can do it. I've got this right here. It's a jolter. This is all I need.
Did Atena tell us that we all had to participate in the forge lighting ceremony? Or if we have the pieces of the puzzle, can only one of us do it?
She said we must pledge ourselves to Minderhall.
Yeah, but pledge. I mean, that's a funny word, isn't it?
A lot of consonants.
Yeah, you know, kind of crammed in there. But... It's like pledge, like a pledge of allegiance. Like you stand up, and it's like you may not feeling all that patriotic, but you just do it so you don't get in trouble in class or whatever.
So, like most things with you, it's only for a short while?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been thinking about Torag lately. And I've been thinking about how much I hate these orcs and giants. Been thinking about why I'm this far away from my homeland. And I've been thinking about Matena's offer to accept Minderhall. There ain't no way in all of Galarian, not enough whiskey in Cheliax to make me accept that. I can't. I've been on this earth 50 years. There's nothing that's changing what's in my bones and what's in my heart. Even if it's Ash Peak instead of Red Heart now.
Would Torag have you let the entire world burn for your devotion?
No, but just because she's on the outs with the big boss, I don't know, man. I'm just worried what'll happen when we'll get up there.
Do you believe we can defeat Orathash without the forge lighting?
I do.
Atena seems to think we can't. What if we were to take these artifacts and simply destroy them, so the forge could never be lit?
Nope.
Why not?
You can do whatever you want after we find Brander. But right now, that's our best chance at saving Galabras.
What about this Brander? I've never seen him. What is he...
Yeah, I've heard the name a lot, but I don't really get like who it is. I don't get how it ties into all this.
I only saw him briefly as he flew away after savaging Galabras' mind. He wears black. He's a sorcerer of great power. That's really all we know.
And we think he may be here, somewhere in the valley.
He took the hammer. Atena said if he sensed the forge were lit, he would come back, as he promised, to strike the hammer on the forge of Minderhall.
But Della, we also saw in her tent the vision of what happened with Brander and Galabras' past through the visions of the Oracle. I can tell you, he's the first man I've ever seen, even briefly, even through a vision, and on that battlefield that I'm scared of. I don't like that he's on the other side of our party.
That's why we should take all the power we can get from this forge and use it against him. Make the world a little better than it might be right now.
But I don't know if do you have to believe it like in your heart, like to be able to take whatever this power is? Because it's not, I don't know if I can do it. Like, I can say that I've done it. I can be very convincing, but I don't know if I can actually believe it. So
the gods can see through you, Nestor. They know. If this is contingent on Minderhall knowing that you are truly believing, then it won't work. And I'm not saying we must light the forge, not by a long shot, but I do believe that we can't bluff our way through this one. We have to make a choice.
I'll say whatever I need to, believe whatever I need to get Galabras back.
I'm still not sure. We had a lot of weapons go through the Five Kings Mountains, and I saw some elvish crafted armor and weapons that, while lighter and different from what we'd make, had the same craftsmanship and beauty in them. And I know they don't worship Torag up on those hills. They don't pray at their smiths like we do. So I think that in the same way those elves used a hammer and tongs and a forge, we use all these items, which we don't have to believe in. They exist, and perhaps we can still light the forge. That's what I think. Two different cultures can come to the same conclusion. And all I know is that, as powerful as Minderhall might be, his influence hasn't been on Galarian for ages. Yomadice has, Iomedi. Torag has, Desna's has. Desna, I believe, saved us at that Red Lake Fort. And I believe that our gods,
Galabras, saved us.
With Desna's help, all things are possible through Desna. And all things are possible through the gods that are on the side of the little people. There's more of us than there are of them.
Yes, but their force is not to be reckoned with. They're enormous. Their size alone. I'm sorry, I lose faith. You are right. If the gods are on our side, we are unstoppable, but I don't know.
Your size has never stopped you from charging headlong into battle. You've overcome any type of limitation you had there. Their size doesn't determine they're going to win automatically.
You're right. The protection of Yomadai, Iomadai, is something that has often given me the power over fear in battle. But it still has not prevented me from nearly dying many times. I don't know.
Well, listen, don't get too down. I mean, we've got to remember that this is a well-oiled machine, like this group. Like, we function so well as a team. Every single situation you could think of, we've got it covered. Like, for example, if we need someone riding around on the back of a dog, stabbing at people's shins,
Lexington's like,
we've got Will. If we need people spouting off one-liners and using religious dogma as justification for shooting people, we've got Baron. And if we want moody teens who break into dance at unexpected moments, we've got Della.
And there's Umlo. He does, you know, he can speak in a very low voice. And if you need a job done properly, or for example, he looks down at Will. It's like an object retrieved from a moderately high shelf. You've got me. So we've got. Don't worry. Like, we've got you covered. That's what I'm saying.
Well, what is the plan? If we find the clay or whatever it is in this swamp, which I believe we will. I believe we are a good team. I believe that we work well together. We've faced every challenge and bested it. But if we find ourselves with this fourth and final item, what are we going to do? What is the decision? Are we lighting the forge or not?
Let's cross that bridge if we come to it.
We almost just fell off the last bridge.
No, I know, a metaphorical bridge, not the actual bridge we just crossed. Very literal-minded dwarves.
Umlo steps up and he has his steel hand on Heartspin. He goes,
"We are a well-oiled machine, but we only do one thing well. Kill."
Yeah. No, it's right. Luckily, that is what his job requires. So.
Is that what the gods want?
Yeah, I think so.
A bunch of corpses in our wake.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, clearly.
You seem really happy about this, and that's not the point
I know. We may be coming at this from different angles, but I agree with you.
Iomedai would see her enemies smoten. She would see those that seek to oppress the little folk of the world. She would see justice done to them, and if that means killing them, then so be it. Of course, it would not be my first choice of action, but they've left us little choice in this valley. They're violent, violent creatures. Yeah. All of them.
We're violent, violent creatures.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I can tell you that Torag also would like his enemies smoten, but he'd suggest that if we were a society of dwarves to hunker down, build up our defenses, and get ready to plan for the attack. But we saw what happened to Trunau. We know the giants would rip right through there, so I'm hoping that the best defense is a good offense.
It can be harder than you think to assemble armies and plan a decent war. It's with so many moving pieces and so many commanders and so many different places, the possibilities of error are great. We have a tight-knit crew here that could plunge a dagger into the heart of this war before it even starts. I think there's something to be said for that.
Well, listen, let's just get some sleep, right? We're very tired. I'm very tired. Let's get some sleep, and I'm sure we'll feel better in the morning. Perhaps an entire level better, if you get my drift. So,
yeah, and so this whole time, Will has been like, out of his armor and everything, just like relaxed and kind of Lexington is resting without his armor on. You know, it's kind of a big thing. Like when you rest down for the night, taking that shit off is like, oh, it's like a weight has been lifted. And so, but yeah, it is important to him to kind of figure out where we are in terms of that choice, because he's definitely on the fence and he kind of wants to see where everybody else is.
Now, here's a question. You worship two gods. Is there any... Would there be any real objection? Like, what? How many steps away is Minderhall from Iomedai?
He's evil, right? He's an evil god.
I think he's lawful evil.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But that's a quick fix. We can look that up easily. But yeah, I mean, as an evil deity, there'd be no way.
Lawful evil.
Yeah, lawful evil. There'd be no way. But in the back of Will's head, what he's not saying is he doesn't want to bring up his brother, but that's a big concern, because he knows nobody cares. Like, he knows Deli cares about Brander, and Baron cares about the dwarves and the giants, and you know, being saved from the giants, and Nestor cares about killing Orthosh, and all of our purposes can meet, but he's just not like, this is the reason to light the forge, my brother. Like, it doesn't really, it's not gonna matter to them.
So you get all these ideas kind of roaming around your heads. And Della, especially, like, Atena was pretty clear. She connected you with Nimrith the Maker.
Must be my swampy personality.
So, you know, I don't know if Sir Will has talked about his vision underwater in Rosag's temple.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe there's this apprehension in Della, but is this real? Is Zatanna...
I think she wants to believe. I think she has the poster "I Want to Believe" up on her on the wall of her office,
and the cat that says "Hang in there."
Yeah, pencils stuck into the drop ceiling.
So, you know, armed with this knowledge and apprehension and fear that you all have going through you, you bed down for the night.
Sir Will is immune to fear.
I'll tell you what you're immune to. I imagine at a certain point, like, you know, you have your watch and whatnot. Maybe Nestor gets up to go take a piss in the woods. And Nestor, as you're peeing, you hear, like, branches trampling behind you.
He gets Jolter. And he looks around, see if he can figure out where it's coming from.
You look around and you hear sound, but you can't quite place where, and then you see this shadowy figure come out of the woods. Well.
Oh, shit.
Look at you, boy. You've come quite a long way. And your father emerges from the woods. Look at you. Traveling with a band now, aren't you? You must think you're something special, don't you? As he gets into the moonlight, you see he's covered in wounds all over his body. You know, you're more like your old man than you probably know. Eschewing the importance of faith? You think that's your belief? It was taught to you, boy. You think you don't need anybody but yourself? You think you don't need higher powers? I taught you that. That isn't an independent thought on your part. So good luck out there. Because I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon. And Nestor, you like blink and you're back at the campfire. And you look over and Sir Will's asleep 10 feet away.
He's like... I never like got the bow or anything, like nothing.
That you don't know.
It was just all.
If you like were sleepwalking and had that, if it was a dream, if you lost time there somehow.
All right, so he's,
but you're back laying down in the camp.
I'm definitely a little bit unsettled by that. But I hold Jolter tight as I bed back down.
Clutching it to like my side. Bear.
Yeah. Like a binky.
Nestling your head on the grip.
And soon morning comes. You guess it's morning because you know time has passed, but it's so gross. The air around you, you know, the trees are starting to come
fetid.
In again. You know, so it's not, you know, obviously it's light, but it's, you know, it's like being down in like a New Orleans swamp and you are all 10th. Level.
Yeah, baby!
Except for Ums. Ums is 9.
Is he taking another level of barbarian?
We just discussed this. But let's start with the main crew. I don't know what you guys are going to do. I'm assuming people are going to keep on the track. They're going, who knows? Let's start with you, Della. What do you want to be?
Della's going to do another level of Magus.
Another level of Magus. So you'll be Magus 9, Bard 1.
Yep.
Okay.
It's hard because Bard 2 is just so, like, you don't get much.
Yeah, you got to take that Bard 2 to get to Bard 3.
Yeah.
What is
in
Magus,
a dangerous situation.
What is Magus 9? You're obviously going to get some new spells.
Yeah, some new spells. Not a ton. I get a Magus Arcana.
Okay.
So I'm taking, you want to know?
Your new spells?
No, the Magus Arcana I took, my level 9.
Oh, yeah,
Arcana.
Sure.
It is called Accurate Strike.
Oh, boy.
So basically, I can spend 2 arcane pool points as a swift action to deliver, to basically have all of my melee attacks for one round resolve against touch AC.
Oh, wow.
You basically become Baron
for one round.
Wow. She's going to be a sheriff after it's done. Also, because
little deputies all grown up.
And because I'm ninth level now, the my enhancement bonus that I can give to my weapon with those arcane pool also goes up to +3.
Oh boy!
Okay. So wow. I can do
so you have multiple
shocking
elements?
Burst.
Oh wow!
You don't have You don't have access to fourth level spells yet, right? You're still third level.
Third level spells. Okay, yeah. No jump in the BAB or the saves.
Okay.
So not a ton, but some cool stuff.
What is your hit die?
D8.
I thought we'd do this on air. Let's roll off to all see right. How many hit points you get.
All right. Come on, Dells.
This is how we
ooh,
do
two.
Oh, it's a two.
So I roll it with the players, and we take the better one. What do you think?
Eight
hit points.
Yeah!
All right.
Awesome.
Nice job.
All right, Dells. Sir Will, what are we going? We go now. You've got some powers back because you went Cavalier last time, right?
I did.
So what are you going this time?
I'm going more Cavalier.
Oh, no. So now you'll be even, right? 5-5.
I'll be even. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. How Cavalier of you?
Yeah. I just wanted to. I wanted to keep exploring. I think he's getting more and more in tune. But obviously, his brother and the whole Highbury thing. So that's more of the Cavalier end of things. So his bonus now, he gets a bonus to his banner, the actual Highbury banner.
Oh, cool.
Now gives everybody within 60 feet a +2 bonus to saves against fear.
Oh
nice.
On.
And if any of you ever, you guys mostly won't, but if any of you ever make a charge, you get a +1 on top of the charge bonus.
Oh, okay.
Get
wow.
As part of a charge.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Cool. So that's a fun little one. And then... what else was interesting? And then Lexington leveled up as well, and I took he's at 9 HD, and so he got a feat.
Oh,
so I took a feat.
Should give him
a
lork.
I took I took the feat run, just because there's so many like large encounters in this area. The run feat for an animal: when running, you move 5 times your normal speed. If you're wearing medium or light armor, if he wears heavy armor, he still gets to go 4 times his speed.
Oh, wow.
And if you ever have a running start, he gets a +4 bonus to his acrobatics check.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
To jump. So I could really like use him to do some cool stuff.
I'm already
stuff.
Seeing this moment, too, where you're like, you're off of Lexington about to die, and you're just like, Lexington, run!
Yeah, exactly.
He saves himself.
Yeah. Or, you know, we have to close on something quickly, or just literally jumping over a big gap to get into a fight or whatever. Imagine it could be pretty fun. So.
What is Sir Will's hit die?
Sir Will's hit die is a D10.
D10. All right, Joe, you get to roll. Joe's gonna roll.
Yeah.
Joe's gonna roll. Joe's gonna roll.
Nine.
Nine. And I got rolled a 3.
All right. Nice. Take a 9, and then Lexington is a D8.
D8 for Lexington, okay.
4.
4.
Also a 4.
We'll
take the 4.
I'll just re-roll it.
Nah, it's okay.
We have a rule in our Rune Lords game where if the DM and the player roll the exact same result, no matter what it is, you re-roll it.
You re-roll.
It's the Grant rule.
It's the Grant rule, yeah.
And it's only been positive so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me guess. It was invented when you both rolled a 1. Not when you both rolled
I just 12. I just immediately demanded it.
Yeah.
It was grantfathered in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of like that.
Oh, man.
Abalone, no!
Abalone, no!
All right, Baron, finally, that 10th level rogue level, right?
No, Baron,
I don't know what you're going to
do. You know, it's really a beautiful thing when a player takes his role-playing into the character part of it and takes another level of Inquisitor.
Oh. Yeah.
In so order to Inquisitor 2?
Three.
Three.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
He wanted to get past the second level Matthew went through. It was lame.
Yeah.
But it's finally getting cool, and I think it reflects as well Baron's rededication to Toreg.
I applaud you. I think it's a good
The
choice.
Biggest thing he gets, outside of a couple of his judgments getting more powerful, is that he gets teamwork feats now.
Yes, teamwork
he
feats.
He selected one that was perhaps tailor-made for a gunslinger.
Now, we should explain teamwork feats, because this is something we've never done on the show.
No, we have. We have. Sir Will has. It's been a while.
Oh, okay.
But Cavaliers can do it. And Sir Will has one that is escape route. Remember? Where it was like, if you're adjacent to Sir Will, you don't provoke attacks of opportunity when you move.
Yeah,
so you
have
the same thing that Inquisitors do, that your allies don't need to have that teamwork
I need to spend a standard action in a round, and for 3 rounds. It's your charisma bonus. Everybody can use that teamwork feat.
I see, that's
so anybody
cool, yeah.
adjacent. So I would be a good thing to do with like a huge giant, as a lot of AOE or AOO area. Plant myself there and say anybody around me can move as they need to. But
so Inquisitor is a little bit more buffed up. Third level, all of the Inquisitor's allies are treated as if they possess the same teamwork
feat. That's awesome.
And the teamwork feat...
All the time?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's infinitely better.
That's really good.
Well, better. you take the D8 and you take a lower BAB. So they got to buff it
lower
somewhere,
BAB.
You know?
Yeah, it's very cool. Otherwise, your ally would have to have the same teamwork feat, which no one would ever do.
Right. No
so,
one ever
so expensive.
That.
The prerequisite for this teamwork feat, so I'll read before I read you the title, are point blank shot and base attack bonus plus 6. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have been able to take this at third level Inquisitor. Sure. So it's called Target of Opportunity. You and your allies pelt your enemies with a deadly barrage of missiles.
Oh, God.
When an ally who also has this feat makes a ranged attack and hits an opponent within 30 feet of you, that's you can great. Spend an immediate action to make a single ranged attack against that opponent.
Come on. So Baron and Nestor are going to be side by side in combat.
It doesn't have to be side by side. We just have to be
30 feet.
Yeah, within 30 feet.
Of the enemy. Not even of each other.
Okay. Yeah, but you're always within 20 feet.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. It's perfect for the range.
Wow. How many times per day?
It's a teamwork feat.
Yeah, that just whenever.
Gross.
So wow.
Gross.
But wait a minute. But when you use that, that's an immediate action that you can't use a swift action on your turn. So some of your grip points and stuff you might not be able to do during your turn.
Well, I can always use point blank shot because there's no movement associated with it, but yes, I like quick draw. I couldn't quick draw something.
It's still unbelievable. That's what we need.
And then the
Baron have more attacks.
The
that's really what the show needs.
Really keep the pace moving.
I also just as my spell, I thought it was appropriate since we're getting closer to the forge. I took protection from evil.
Oh, very nice.
That spell is so good.
Yes.
And so undervalued, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is your hit die, Baron?
My hit die is a D8. Would you like to roll with me,
Let's
Troy?
Let's do it, buddy.
Six.
Six.
Two.
All right.
Dude, that's, six is great.
Baron is now at... I will let you know as soon as I punch it in.
632.
He is at 110.
Oh my god.
So still behind Sir Will. But
by a lot now.
Pretty
with that belt.
Pretty saucy. Nestor Coin, what do we got?
So the main thing that a Slayer gets at 10th level is a Slayer talent. And so I spent it on a Ranger combat feat, which is something that Slayers are allowed to do. So I took the same thing I did with many shots. Like it allows you to take a ranged combat feat without the prerequisites.
Nice.
So I took improved precise shot with that. And so that basically, let me read the text here. Your ranged attacks ignore the AC bonus granted to targets by anything less than total cover. And the missed chance granted to targets by anything less than total concealment. Total cover and total concealment provide the normal benefits against your ranged attacks. So if they're partial cover or partial concealment, I ignore them.
You're ignoring this. You can shoot
20% concealment, no more.
No
for
more.
Mister.
Yeah.
And you can shoot through all your friends without any bonuses.
With no problem.
Wow. That is insane.
So is he still subject to the house rule of a natural one hitting a close ally?
That hasn't happened in...
Yeah, never happened.
Since we made the new rule.
Yeah. No.
In fact, I forgot what the new rule
is. I did, too.
What is your HD?
D10.
D10. Oh, boy. Right.
So all let's right. watch me.
Come on, Nesta.
Let's go.
Eight.
Nine.
Yes! Finally!
Bachelor Patty.
All right, and all then right. Well, what do you think? Let's go keep going barbarian with him. Give him a little more beef.
Unless
friends? I don't know how this would work.
Cleric.
That's what I was going to say.
He could channel.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say take a level of cleric. He's get, he has like a passive streak to him.
Actually, yeah, he's got the, yeah.
He could stabilize people 30 feet away. And
he gets access to all those spells.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. What, you know, he was around Sir Will for a long time. They were buddy-buddy. He was teaching him the tenets of Yomadai and Shaylin, but then he's also been hanging out with Baron, talking Torag. Which way is he going to go?
I mean,
and what, you know, I could
Minderhall.
See
Minderhall.
Yeah, Minderhall.
Our cleric of Minderhall.
Umlo, just be say fuck it.
You know what? I'm tired of you two.
I don't know. If, yeah. I actually don't know if that would
what
work.
Is,
there,
what is Umlo's? What is his alignment? What, I don't know what Umlo's alignment
That's
is.
That's a good question.
Because
he's neutral good.
Yeah, he couldn't. He couldn't do Minderhall.
Torag it is.
So I just for sake of. He's gonna like get super fatigued in these big battles and just die. But that's why
he hasn't died yet. He's been unbelievably disadvantaged. And he hasn't died yet.
He's touched. He's touched by someone, and I think he feels the urge to want to preach about them.
Yeah,
yeah, and not only and mechanically, even like scrolls and stuff like that, like. He can roll four cleric scroll spells. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about it in terms of mechanics at first, but like when we were just talking, I was like, right, like this is the toll it must be taking on Umlo. He's got to find some outlet to like deal with the fact that he's now
his rage.
Yeah. He's become a rageful killing machine, and he was a cook.
And he doesn't like that.
What did Umlo do during the Periton fight? He ran to the cave.
He ran and prayed,
and he prayed. Yeah. And something happened in that moment where he found God.
Yeah.
And now Umlo is taking a level in cleric.
Nice. Yep.
And he's worshipping Nethys.
Nethys, yes.
The god of magic.
The goddess of magic.
Well, and I'll remind you, too, that I think Baron after...
Oh, that's awesome.
Baron gave Ingrahild's statue of Torag to him, so he has that keepsake of his sister. He's reminded of too.
What are Torag's domains?
A cleric of Torag. We can worry about the nit-grit. Probably later, but
the nit grit points.
What is he? I think it's a D6, right?
For D8 for a cleric.
D8 for a cleric. All right.
Five.
Two.
Five. Okay.
All right. Five is fine. Five is great for a D8.
And he gets channel positive
energy. He can channel
1D6. Hey, it's enough to stabilize somebody.
Totally.
His domains are artifice, earth, good, law, and protection, which is. What he's been doing.
Yeah.
Let's see what the
touch of good.
Yeah.
While you guys play with that, so he is now fighter, rogue, barbarian, cleric. what a mockery.
Classic tri-class.
What is quad-class?
No, I think this is the perfect example of storytelling, narrative, multiclassing, because he doesn't like the rage. I think we've all pretty much made that clear.
Yeah.
He doesn't get fired up by it. He hates it about himself.
Yeah, I can see him at night praying, please, Torag, take this anger away from me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally see, as we're walking, I'm showing him my holy text of Torag, which actually is made with leather pages. I was reading more about it the other day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's really cool.
You guys, break camp. Get ready to get cooking. Getting swampy and boggy up ahead. Baron knows immediately you guys are now traveling south. You can go to the left, sort of southeasterly, or you can travel to the right, southwesterly. What do you want to do?
Want to roll a survival check, Troy?
Okay.
I want to see.
Do you want to determine
how many all directions the footsteps are going? I'm looking for any type of footprints going in any direction. One moment. Do.
Isn't that sound of a fly like almost as annoying as an actual fly?
It is.
Because you're just like it's like get it away.
Yeah, I'm glad all the listeners get to experience it too.
17.
You do see footprints, you know, obviously they're sloshed, you know, they're kind of like depressed and, in the boggy area heading towards the southeast. It's not that you don't see it, you don't really see anything going to the southwest, but they're both huge passageways.
I'd think... My suggestion of the group is that I think that it's possible that the big bad evil guy has his own guys going out to look for stuff, and maybe they have the intel, but maybe they're going the wrong way because they never figured out the place we went, so it's really a toss-up.
Could literally flip a coin.
Yeah, I mean, you know from the map, sort of, when the living cave painting room, direction-wise, you could try to roll a survival check to tell where that would be. It's going to have to be, it's going to be pretty high DC, but it might give you a little bit of a hint.
Why don't we just split up?
Another guy off the table.
Grant, yeah.
Automatic fail.
Calm down. Automatic fail.
Send a little of pilgrimage.
22.
That's pretty good for survival.
That's pretty good for survival. You feel as if the southwesterly one continues going southwest, that is probably closer to where the living cave painting room was directing you. If it turns at all, then you may have to come back and double back to go follow these footprints.
Say we go where bags fly free. Southwest Airlines. Straight down there.
Nailed. Okay.
By the way, in Warhammer, that would not count as damage. Because they say, if you don't care enough to hit like dice on a table, how are you going to shoot an enemy like 100 yards away from you?
Yeah, I like
great
that.
Point.
I like that.
What about fleas?
Yes.
Wow.
A fortitude save.
Everybody?
Everybody except Della.
17?
17.
19.
34 for Sir Will.
Oh, God.
He's very fortitudinous.
What about Umlo?
And then Lexington. 17 for Lexington.
Fortitude save, Umlo.
Oh, sorry. Umlo is setting his holy
spell. Well, once again, Matthew was reading cleric spells as per the Jade Regent.
Isn't that how you play Pathfinder?
Grant just stroked Matthew's arm very gently.
With the back of my hand.
Sensitively. he just got his attention.
He looked at me like a cat that didn't want to be pet.
27.
Okay. So Lexington and Nestor are still affected by this.
Oh, no.
Damn, man.
Yeah.
So the results of...
Umlo keeps trying those cleric's things out. He'll be able to heal them soon enough.
I think Umlo is going to go with the good and the earth domains.
I like it. I like it.
He is a dwarf, after all.
Is there a cooking domain?
Isn't there a subdomain that's cooking?
That's cooking.
The good, sous chef.
The good cooking domain?
Can I ask a flashback question? If you want me to do a wisdom modifier thing. Yeah. I'm being reminded of when we were searching for the Vault of Thorns again. That swampy area. Mm-hmm. What was the name of the giant that attacked us that was like part of the swamps?
It's a marsh giant.
Just a marsh giant? Okay, mm-hmm. So maybe...
Oh, yeah.
We could run... Because we ran into Maros again. I don't know.
Yeah, that could happen.
Is there anything we can do to prepare for a marsh giant fight?
I didn't think he had anything special. I mean, they're like basically... All the different types of giants seem like they're like rangers with favored terrain, you know, and they have elemental weaknesses. I mean, the thing I'm still most worried about is flying creatures because we still don't know how to do that. So,
yeah. I don't
know. This might be a fun throwback.
So, you know, you're thinking about that. You're thinking about fighting those marsh giant whites.
Oh, yeah,
that was a little boggy as well. But forward you march, and the ground begins to dampen and dampen and get wetter, and to get to the point where you're like going up to your shins and up to your knees, and it's not long before you are in a deep bog. Let me tell you about deep bogs. Basically, it costs you 4 squares of movement to move 1.
Oh, man.
Well, I remember this.
From
Ghostlight Marsh.
Yeah. Or you can swim. Sir Will, if you don't take Lexington through this, you have to swim as a small creature.
But as a medium creature, Lexington can walk through it?
Lexington can walk through it.
But it takes 4 squares of movement to move
4 squares to move 1. Everyone gets cover. If you're off of Lexington... As a small creature, you actually get +8 to your AC.
But I can't
plus
move.
Plus four to reflex, but you can't. You have to swim.
Can't
if you're
walk.
Off Lexington, yeah.
Got it.
Small creatures have to swim. Deep bog's no joke. You get a little bonus to cover, but you're basically in 4 feet of water.
This is just like when we fought the Hydra.
Right.
Which we did here. In your apartment.
That's right. That's right.
Many moons ago.
Many moons
ago. And based on this is established in the Gurion fight underneath, Baron is 4 feet tall, so he'll probably have to swim based off of the rules as written, unless you think...
He's a medium creature.
You're not going to... Okay.
No, I'm not worried about it. I mean, you can swim. That is an option if you don't want, you know...
Right.
Della might want a monkey fish. Who knows?
I was just looking at how long that would get. I don't know.
You see that... In this branch of the valley, after being initially dotted with these small pools of mucky water, it's now this fetid-smelling bog. About 100 yards in, there's only a few patches of solid earth poking from the ominous, glassy, black water, held together by knotted clumps of sedge grass and wild rye. Deep within the swamp up ahead of you, an unusual arrangement of curiously shaped lichen-encrusted boulders jut from the water, forming a widely spaced pattern that appears to be deliberate.
Knowledge check, or is it too far away?
It's too far away. Insects biting, you know, you're like slapping at your chin, you know, your skin, skittering across the surface of the water, you know, like dragonflies coming, bouncing off, and just echoing the whole bog, crickets, frogs, and other swamp creatures. You know what? Let's go to the map.
Yeah!
All right.
Just so you get a better idea of what this looks like.
Troy's gonna map!
Troy's gonna map!
Get ready for that map!
Map.
Everybody roll a perception check.
Natural one.
Natural 20.
33.
32. 25. So everyone except Sir Will and Umlo's too busy.
Umlo's 28.
Reading the Holy Book.
Oh, nice.
Correct. All right, so everyone except Sir Will. You see way, way off in the distance what appears to be a makeshift raft tied to one of these strange boulders sticking out from the swamp. You guys are now 4 feet deep up to you. It's disgusting. Think Dagobah. Sir Will, what do you feel about this? Like, Lexington is not feeling this, but what are you going to do, leave him behind?
No.
Are you just going to keep riding him through this, or are you going to swim and bring him with you? Like, what?
Yeah, I think I'll keep riding him through it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I can't swim. And his head's above water. He's moving slow, but he's moving okay.
Is, yeah.
So there's a raft a little ways away, is what you're saying?
A lot of ways away.
A lot of ways away, there's a raft. Yeah, we'll just get to the raft. I'm sure it'll be no problem.
Yeah, there's nothing between us and the raft, so it's perfectly safe.
And then Lexington and Will could just stand on the raft, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your plan.
Yeah, but no, he does want to stay. I think that's going to be the best choice, so just stay on Lexington.
Okay. You know, you don't see anything else in the distance except these, you know, stones jutting out. Do you guys, you know, talk to me about, like, who's moving where? Or who wants to, like, does someone want to stay up front?
Nestor would prefer to stay towards the back because of his bow.
Right.
That he uses a lot.
Yeah, says Sir Will is happy to go first.
Baron suggests to Sir Will, I'm happy taking the vanguard with you, but I think we should split and hide between... behind the two dunes as we get up to them.
Sheriff, I would say you work the side angles and get a good shot. I'll go down the middle and take the attention of whatever might come our way.
All right, maybe Della or Nestor wants to take the other side as we move ahead. Because as we're looking at the map, we have one immediately in front of us, a little patch of dirt, and then we have eight more that are side by side.
Those are boulders jutting out.
Boulders. Sir Will is suggesting he literally walk right down the middle and take the attention of anything that might come out, while the ranged characters and Della can flank out to the sides.
Fan out.
Yep. Yeah. Umlo will go with Sir Will. Give a little backup.
So Umlo and Sir Will up the middle, and then Baron and Nestor, one to each side.
Yeah, behind the boulders.
Della, what are you thinking about?
I'll take one of the sides as well.
All right, do you want to go with Baron or you want to go with Nestor?
I'll go with Nestor.
Your choice will tell me who you like better.
Now you say that.
All right, so we got Sir Will.
You know what the answer is.
I've already made my bed.
And Baron, you want to go left or right?
I'll go right, because left is sinister. It's bad. I'm a force of righteousness.
I need your life story.
Such a rude GM. Whatever your player is really just trying to get into character, just say, I don't need your life story. Shut him down.
But you asked me what my backstory
But this is my
was.
Backstory. You asked
it's
me.
Like,
about my...
It's like, for Highbury, shut the hell up. I'm sick of this.
So you guys just moving forward, it's just like slog. So four squares of movement cost one. What does that all put you guys at normal movement-wise, Sir Will, on Lexington?
Max
speed.
I haven't done the math yet. I think it's 10 feet around. Max speed, he could go 20 feet and around if he double moves.
Pretty much everyone can move in around 5 or 10 feet, right?
5 feet.
Well, yeah. And what was the swim?
Umlo can move 10, right? Does he have the... Because of the barbarian...
His max. His max is still 30, because he's a dwarf.
Oh. Okay. So
Lexington can move 15 feet in a round, as a double move.
And how did the swim work? If we just...
The swim is quarter speed if you succeed and use it as a move action. As a full round action, you get to move at half speed, which means for a dwarf with 20-foot speed, I'm just going to... It's the same as walking.
I was thinking about it for Della. No, Della will walk. If we're all walking, it's... No difference.
Yeah.
Just taking it slow.
Sir Will and Umlo, roll a perception check.
Natural 2.
Natural 3.
Great.
Awesome.
Perfect, guys, for the job.
So 13.
Sir Will turns to Umlo and he's like, I believe there's no one in this bog.
So you guys keep moving up.
Yep, slowly.
And you split the first two stones that are side by side, and you see they're like all very evenly spaced going up the rest of this swamp.
Does it seem mysterious how evenly spaced they are?
Seems like it was very purposeful.
This does seem quite deliberate.
Yeah.
But you can't quite figure out why.
Is there a trap?
There might be even something on the stones, but you don't have time to look because with your... Garbage perception.
Oh, no. That was adjusted 4.
Adjusted 14.
Not as garbage, but not good against water stealth. Because out from behind these two boulders, these large troll-like creatures.
To try
and grab at you. Roll for it.
Oh, shit.
They got a good one on the Anish there, Sir Willamette. Nope.
Damn it.
A quiet streak.
God, that's fucking creepy.
I'm going to assume that in the night's rest, Della or other people healed Umlo. He wasn't that far down. He was only 15 down.
Yeah, I had cure lights.
Rhythm is a dancer. Do-do-do-do.
Nestor, what do you got?
Nestor is going to study his target.
No, I mean, what's your initiative?
Oh, sorry. Well, I assume because my initiative's a 20 that I can just act now.
I see. Umlo.
19.
Nice, Ums.
What about Sir Will?
Sir Will got an 11.
Okay. Della.
Also got an 11.
Della's first.
Wins Baron.
18.
18 for Baron.
Music's coming in hot.
Yes. Surprise round.
Oh, man.
The two, I don't know what these are, some kind of trolls. Pay no attention to the pawns. Gonna do a bite at Sir Will, the one on my right. days left. 17 against flat-footed.
Miss.
Clang!
Off the armor.
And the other one...
Clang! If it's flat-footed, it's just straight miss, right?
Yeah?
We've had this...
No. Flat-footed means it hits your armor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then the other one goes to attack Umla with its reach. Make sure it has reach. It does. Goes to attack Ums. Poop! 17 flat-footed. They do have the giant subtype.
So, no.
Nah, yeah, that's...
Also, wouldn't Umla get cover for being around the...
Yes, you get a +2.
Yeah, cover. So no.
Partial cups. All right, so... it goes to bite as well. Miss. Round one. Nestor.
Yay!
Now, these things are behind boulders. Does that affect your new...
Well, you just have to say what thing. The cover is. Can he not see them yet?
No, do he cannot see them.
Then
behind.
They have total cover.
Okay. Behind these boulders from where the back party is right now, they cannot be seen.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Three-dimensional boulders drop, but these things are coming way up.
So the boulders are like 10, 12 feet high.
Yes.
Okay. Well, can I see the one on the right, to my right, because do I have an angle?
Yeah, that one does not have total cover.
Okay, then I'm going to study him, and I'm going to do a many shot, so let's see.
Twenty-seven is a hit.
All right, and...
Beauty miss. Beautiful. Here we go.
42 points of damage.
Wow.
Vicious.
Yep.
And
Vicious. And you used your new power that ignores cover.
Yes,
right.
Okay. Right. And then I'm going to take my second attack. God damn, brother, Thorvaldur! 16.
It's a hit.
17. Sorry, 17.
17 is a hit.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
big target.
Big slow targets.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then that is 23 points of damage.
Okay. Still kicking. But
no, 24. Sorry, 24 points of damage.
Still kicking. But yeah, you. I mean, it's almost shoom, dead. Shoom. Sir, well, you're standing right next to it. It looks like it has one breath left.
Huh.
Umla.
Can Umla do a knowledge local to see what they are?
Sure can.
I think I know what these things are.
He doesn't know. Umlo is going to take the cover and stab at the one that Nestor was shooting, right? Can he do that?
Yeah, it's going to get a little bit of... it'll get a bonus to its AC as well, but stab away. You're going to have to take a 5-foot step back.
Yeah, and he can't.
He can't, so...
5-foot step, so you have
I have
to
move action.
And then one attack.
And provoke.
Yeah, okay.
Ah, yes. So it'll attempt to bite. Don't forget you get a bonus. Oh, there we go. Natty 19. That should be a hit. So it hits you for minimum damage. 7 points of damage.
Nice.
All right.
Okay. And then with
Heart
that away.
Heart spiat.
Giant subtype.
22.
That is.
Yay.
Nice.
Ooh.
Oh, he didn't roll a save.
I didn't roll a save.
Tell me the damage first.
18 plus
27.
Nice. And Umlo kills that troll.
Yeah. Wow.
For now. Oh,
so fast.
He's going to roll a save for the other one.
Right.
Fail.
Okay.
Rage.
So Umlo is. I love Torag!
I'm trying to be good.
Yeah. Baron, you just see.
I'm a healer!
You kind of see what's going on. You see this big hulking creature up ahead and behind, you know, you've got Umlo and Sir Will in front of you, and you can kind of piece out this big hulking green wet
Maybe
creature.
I saw the head of the other one that just died fall down from the edge of the boulder. So seeing that they are trolls, Baron is going to quick draw out the Giant's Bane crossbow, and as per Troy LaValle's request, is going to spend a full round loading it.
Attaboy.
Nice.
Troy made up that rule.
But the Pathfinder rulebook
request. It says you have to have unloaded crossbows on your back.
All right. It is the troll's turn, and he's going to do a full attack on Sir Will.
Damn it.
First.
Stupid initiative.
The bite. 23.
Miss.
Flat-footed?
It's still a miss, yeah.
Okay. Claw 1. Please hit both claws. Correct eye. Miss. Okay, so you're going to be okay. And then 20.
Miss.
Okay, so just bite, claw, claw, miss, miss, miss. And then another one pops out of the water.
Oh, shit.
This one appears right by Umlo.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of comes up out of the water, just swam around, and now it is 10 feet away from Ums. Came up out of the water. Goes to bite Umlo. 15. Why am I even asking? I have rolled shit for like two weeks in a row.
2 weeks. It's been awful.
All right. Oh, there's a 19. 27 to hit.
That hits.
All right. That's going to be 11 points of damage if this claw hits. We're going to Ren Town.
Oh, no. Ren Town is a terrible place.
That is a bad town.
20 to hit again.
How many claws does it have?
It was bite, claw, claw. Bite, claw. 20 to hit.
Miss with the hatred.
Nice.
Even with the raging?
No, that hits. You're right.
Wait. Nice
snap,
try,
crackle,
Matthew.
Poop.
You're adding plus four? Or that is the hatred you're talking about? So defensive training?
16 AC plus four would be 20.
That's a hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be 6 points of damage and then
the
rend.
Oh, no.
Another 13 points of damage.
Vicious.
And then, let's see here. Okay. I think we'll leave it at that for now. It is Della's turn.
Della's going to do a knowledge check.
Della's going to do monkey fish.
21.
These are known as scrags.
I knew it.
Scrags.
You knew it?
Yes.
I knew it. I did.
Some sort of aquatic troll situation.
There's one. On. You fight one in Rise of the Rune Lord.
They are known as scrags. They can swim. And here's what you would know, Della. That one that went down, probably not down for good.
Yeah.
That's right. Is it regeneration.
A fire situation or an acid situation?
Yes.
Yeah.
All of the above?
Yes. Yeah, you rolled high enough to know this information. Acid or fire.
Acid or fire. Okay.
So now I will place that pawn back on the board instead of surprising you. Okay. That was your standard action, right?
Very funny. So I can move 5 feet per move action?
Yup. unless you wanna monkey fish.
Nope. I can't. I wish I could. Della instead will cast fly on herself.
Oh, nice.
Why don't you take a dip into your arcane pool?
Why would I do that? I don't know.
Maybe a monkey fish. monkey fish like pools.
And she'll cast fly on herself and she'll take off out of the water.
She's bringing up seaweed and gunk with her. Okay, Della.
She'll start flying over at a 45-degree angle and over towards the trolls.
Okay, so you head up that way. Great. And now it is Sir Will's turn. Sir Will, you're up in the business.
So this thing looks pretty beat up. Oh, no, the other one went down.
Yeah.
Right? Sir Will has his longsword out, and so he is going to attempt to fight this thing from Wolfback. while fighting defensively.
Okay.
So he's going to fight defensively and just try to get a couple hits.
Okay.
Because he's adjacent to it right now. So first swing, natural one. Come on! And I could probably...
natural 20 on the confirm.
God. My
great
life.
Order. That was a great order to yeah. do those two rules.
You've really become a parody of yourself.
It's so ridiculous. And then...
no one's buying it anymore.
I know.
Second attack. 21.
21's going to be a hit.
Nice.
21 hits, and he does 7 points of damage.
7 points of damage. Light. All right. A gentleman 7. All right. A pretty solid round one. That troll to your right that fell after Nestor and Baron lit it up. Actually, no, Baron hit the other one. Appears to be regaining life.
Mm.
Round two, Nesta Coin.
Okay, now there's something that I forgot about. I didn't realize.
Ah.
When I leveled up, because I just did in Hero Lab just as we were talking, in addition to my Slayer talent feat with the improved precise shot, I also my studied target bonus went from +2 to +3.
Oh.
So in addition to my base stack bonus, like everything, so yeah.
So you become even more deadly.
So I'm going to use a swift action to study talk, and actually I'm gonna make a knowledge local check.
Okay.
17.
17. Anything particular you want to know?
Well, I just wanted to justify, because Della didn't say anything,
that
he would know that they're trolls.
Yeah, you know trolls. You know that they're regenerate.
Says, so kill them! Kill them with fire! Or acid, or, you know. And
take your pick.
He's going to do a mini shot.
And this is
attack.
The one that is that attacked Umbra.
This is the one that just popped up.
Okay. Ignoring all bonuses to cover.
22 to hit.
22 is a hit.
Okay, and let's roll with old Jolter. Let's see. Ooh.
Ooh.
38 points of damage.
Wow. That is so much damage.
Okay. And I'm going to take my immediate action as my teamwork feat.
Yes.
Shoot this guy right in the damn face.
You're
not within 30 feet.
I'm within 30 feet.
Oh, he shot this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yep.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
That's a clear shot.
Yeah,
too.
Baby.
That is a 25
a
to hit.
Yes.
And that is 1d10 plus 8.
Oh, that is good teamwork.
Plus 2d6.
That is good teamwork. Plus 2d6. Oh, that's because of the
crossbow. Giant's Bane.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot the crossbow. Oh,
boxcars. Oh, no, it's not boxcars, but it's, yeah, 1, 7.
He goes,
13.
Boxcars. He goes, that's a 1.
Yeah.
21.
One boxcar and a kaboom.
21 points of damage. Okay.
Ba-dunk.
Wow. Wow. And that's with any ranged weapon.
If I'm within 30 feet and a teammate makes a successful ranged attack.
Wow.
And the weapon is loaded and in my hand, and if you'll remember, reloading my double-barreled pistol is a free action. So it'll always be loaded, suckers!
All right, so that thing just got pretty badly beat, and Nestor still has attacks.
Yes, so my second attack. 17.
17's a hit.
Yes, finally with the second attack!
This new power, ignoring all cover.
It's amazing. Gonna, I
mean, yeah, this is going to be huge.
It's a game breaker, yeah.
17 damage.
And that one falls as well.
Okay.
Thanks to the good old teamwork of your friend Baron.
Still need to
burn this dude.
Two trolls down, but for how long? How much damage did you say, by the way?
17.
17. Okay.
18, sorry, 18.
All right. Umla. Up in the business here.
Umlo is going to move up closer to Sir Will and take a stab at the guy, the one troll that's still up.
He'll okay.
There's going to be
cover. You can stab from where
you're
good
are. Right there. That's 15.
It's just going to get a little cover. You're 15. Okay. Yeah. So we'll get a plus 2 to its AC.
So then we'll do a full round attack.
Yeah.
Oh.
Full attack action.
Yes.
You think you know everything.
Okay. He's going to stab with heart spear.
Yeah.
That's going to hit. It's going to be a 23.
Yeah, that'll do.
Nice.
That'll do. Still has yet to crit with this thing to like
pull
it out. I know, it's never. Ooh, that's not good. That's not too bad.
Boxcars!
19 points of damage.
That's 19. Alright, first
one.
Attack, 19 damage, roll second attack.
21.
Yes.
Another
ooh,
hit.
Ooh, nicely done.
22 points of damage. 24 points of damage.
24 points of damage. Do I hear 26? okay, that's it. Two attacks, right?
That's it.
Thank goodness he went cleric. and now, for some reason, it's still Baron's turn. Baron, you have an unloaded crossbow.
Baron, it's a move action to sheath a weapon, right?
Or is it just
drop?
Okay, so I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm going to use my move action because I'd have to reload it to put the Giant's Bane crossbow back on my back, and I'm going to cast Acid Splash
nice.
On the guy who just fell.
Brilliant.
Beautiful.
Ass Splash.
To my...
I'm going to cast Ass Splash.
So right. Inappropriate.
So how many points of damage?
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
It's 1d3, right?
Yeah.
It's irrelevant, isn't
it? An orb of acid.
Ultimately irrelevant.
It's a touch attack. It's 1d...
touch attack.
Roll the touch attack.
Roll the touch attack.
Yeah, you have to... Well, he's a gunslinger.
Oh, yeah. That is a hit.
So you've ended its regeneration and it has begun to die.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Good move.
Nicely done,
Baron. Good move. Very good move.
Killed a lot of trolls in my days.
It's time for my scrags. I'm going to get my scrag on. All right. T4 is dead. T3 is still alive. He goes full attack, John, on Sir Will. He'll go five. He can swim. So he's going to... you don't get any cover, so he's just going to try and straight up murder you. In fact...
Lexington has something to say about that.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Bite. Damn it. Claw. Shit. Claw. 21?
Get out of here.
Come on!
You're embarrassing yourself.
All right. And then one more of these things comes swimming. Nestor sees it coming out.
Oh, shit.
Out of
He's
the water
on me. It's on me.
Nestor. So you saw this, like, hump of water coming towards you.
Oh,
just,
man.
Just tries a bite attack against Nestor. Natty 19. So 27 to hit. Finally gets one measly little hit off. 12 points of damage.
Ooh, ouch.
And now this thing is right up within your range.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little tougher for Nestor.
Is it 10 feet away, or is it, right next to him, adjacent to him?
That's a 5-foot space between it and me.
Yeah, it's 5-foot space. Yeah. It's got a 10-foot reach, and it'll still... It makes Nestor, it limits him to one attack unless he takes the attack of opportunity.
Yep. Right.
All right, so T1, T2, T3, T4. Della
is going to swoop around at an easy angle and come in and Burning Hands the troll that's down and the troll that's up.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Roll for damage. So cool.
That's great. Great move.
So I'm swooping in.
Oh, my God.
13 points of damage, but really the one that's up gets a reflex.
It's a really intense Burning Hands.
Wow. Is there a way to do that without getting Sir Will in the cone?
Sure. I got 60 feet of movement. I can come all the way around.
Yeah, you can do it straight down.
Straight down.
Yeah.
How much damage did you say?
13, but you get a reflex for the one that's up.
Okay. And I rolled a natty 20 on the friggin' reflex save.
Okay, so 6 points of fire damage, but the regenerations are gone.
The regeneration is gone!
How does that work? It's only gone for one round, right? I mean, if it's conscious and up, it matters.
I think
it's gone forever.
Once you put any fire acid damage on it, that ends its regeneration.
For how long? There has to be.
Until it gets healed.
Basically, certain attack forms, typically fired in acid, cause a creature's regeneration to stop functioning on the round following the attack. During this round, the creature does not heal any damage and can die normally, so you need to kill it this round.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only one round.
Okay.
So when they're unconscious, it doesn't matter.
Pretty much every time you guys have ever done this against trolls, you've always killed it the round afterwards. So,
or we've only done it when they've already been unconscious.
Right.
Sir Will, you've got a chance to take it out. That one who's dead now
he'll give
is
it a
dead,
shot.
Dead.
He'll give it a shot. So another fighting defensively, keeping his shield is Sophia. Shield up.
Okay.
He will swing with Roselight. That is an 18.
18 is a hit.
18 is a hit, and he does 5 points of damage.
Okay, not going to be enough, Sir Will. Come on, buddy.
And he swings again, another 19, actually.
Yep. Nice.
And he does 7 points of damage.
Nice. That's enough to take that one.
Yes! Sir Will!
Yeah.
With his
dead
peasy.
With his tiny little sword. So
that
perfect,
awesome.
The Della caught him in that
I
fire.
I want them dead. I want their bodies burned to the ground.
Next round,
dead.
You got Nestor. Brand new one just popped up. Maybe the last one. You're not quite sure, but now he's right up in your business. What do you do?
He's going to knock 2 arrows. He said, fuck it. I'm going to take the attack of opportunity.
Oh,
I don't care. I'm going to study the targets.
Goes to bite, 26 hits on the bite. You take.
Question: if you take damage when you're doing a ranged attack, does that affect your attack bonus?
Not as far as I know.
Spell,
not as far as I know either.
All right, it's going to be 8 points of 8 measly points of damage,
okay.
And then you fire away.
Fire away. So my first many shot studied target. That's a hit, and that is going to be. Eesh! Great. That is 35 points of damage.
35 points
Pathetic.
Of damage.
Pathetic.
And I'm going to roll second attack.
Okay.
That's a hit.
And oh, there you go. A hit on the second.
Yeah, hit on the second again. And that's 18 damage. No, 19.
19 damage.
I keep forgetting that as a Zarni executioner, I get an additional point for humanoid creatures.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is a large humanoid. Umlo. One guy left on the battlefield that you can tell. Right now, it's like a triangle. You've got...
Triangle.
A triangle.
Triangle. Right now, it's like a triangle.
I was going to say triangular and triangle, and it came out triangle. You've got this, Reservoir Dogs standoff here with the troll in the middle, Nestor, Baron, and Umlo forming a Triforce of Wisdom around him. Umbo, right, what do you do?
Take him out.
Umbo's going to whirl around and stab with Heart Spiet.
It's Heart Spiet!
And I feel like I should go a little power attack on him.
Oh, that's...
Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?
Finish him.
Go ahead, Bible boy!
20 to hit.
That is the hit.
Nice.
That is a hit.
Ooh,
oh, not bad. Amazing roll.
Boxcars?
33 points of damage.
You just say boxcars now every single time. It goes down.
Yeah.
It falls. Baron, you got another acid splash?
Yeah, I do, because it's unlimited use, baby.
Baron takes it out.
Yay.
Under. That is what 10th level characters do.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And you are out of combat.
If you'll notice, by the way, Baron didn't fire a single shot.
But not with his gun.
Not with his gun.
Yeah.
Did not.
That was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
That was cute encounter, Troy.
Yeah, great.
Stretch the 10th level muscles that. There.
Fun, breezy that. Encounter.
That was like showing
just a little bit of light murder.
Showing up at a friend's house and having cucumber sandwiches served.
That's one of
without the crust.
Yeah, you know something what I
like?
Light.
You know what I like about that encounter? That's like, let's see these guys try out their new powers. That's what that was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just give them that false sense of confidence. Yeah, easy work. With of the scratch.
Sir Will would like to try to make his way toward the raft.
Well, Della is still flying, so can she fly over there and do a perception check on it, see if it's trapped, see if there's something else?
Yeah, roll perception.
And what's on top.
And what's on top.
Yeah.
Of the boulders.
Who's on first?
Who?
Not great. Hold on. Switching back.
Are you wearing the cape, by the way? We never decided whose cape it is, because you could add 5 to
your... Yeah, that was supposed to be overnight during the camp.
Yeah.
We'll do that later.
Okay, so that is a 17 perception.
So you're flying over there real quick before your spell runs out, and, I mean, you don't see any traps, per se. You don't think it's going to, like, something's going to jump out. But you do see bones on it and feathers of maybe these, like, large swamp birds. A jar and some gems.
Ooh!
So Della will feather fall down onto the raft. Is there a pole nearby with which to?
And we're making our way there as this.
Right. Yeah.
So I can
go over to them and pick them up on the raft.
No, there's no time for this on pole.
Can I take a look at the stones? Have we done that yet?
No, we haven't.
We're all up there.
Yeah, you guys all get up there, okay. But you can look at the stones.
29.
29, are you like cleaning them off?
Taking a good close look.
As you clean them off, you notice there are
runes
on the stones. You guys know by now that they are giant runes.
Rise of the rune stones.
Yep.
Everybody roll a wisdom check.
Oh, wow. 18.
Wow. 14.
16.
17 for Ums. 9 for Della.
9 for Della. So Umlo and Nestor kind of look back, and the runes appear to be like names. And Nestor and Umlo specifically...
I can't read.
You can't read.
Yeah.
Okay. So does Umlo speak giant?
Mm-hmm. He was our translator, remember?
Yeah.
So, Umlo, you speak giant.
I speak giant.
You recognize these runes. You can't quite...
I recognize these runes.
...quite make out exactly what they say. But they appear to be names.
Maybe they're graves?
And that's what Nestor realizes.
This
is a ancient burial bog.
Wow.
For fallen giants.
Huh.
Why can't they put cranberries in their bogs like normal people?
God. So you're just walking through this graveyard.
Wow.
On the raft, you find, like I said, bones, feathers. You find a jar with some sort of magical thing in it and 3 pieces of jade.
Oh.
Detect magic on everything?
The jar has a magical thing in it.
I pull that magical item out and spellcraft it. What do I see, Troy? What do I see when I pull this item out?
It's like this viscous
yellowy substance inside.
Mm.
Oh, so you're not pulling it out. It's in like a liquid. In
okay,
the
then I won't pull it out. I'll just
the soul of a witch who cast magic jar.
12. Touch of law on Della. I show it to her.
Boom. It's a jar of restorative ointment.
Can it grow feet back?
Restorative.
Can it grow feet?
Can it grow feet?
What do we know about restorative ointment?
I will tell you, since you rolled so well. It is not regenerative ointment. The jar of this unguent is 3 inches to him. Placed upon a poisoned wound or swallowed, the ointment detoxifies any poison, such as like neutralized poison does. Applied to a diseased area, it removes disease.
Oh.
Rubbed on a wound, it cures 1d8 plus 5 points of damage.
Cool.
Oh, so we have a removed disease.
And there are 5...
Doses?
Doses.
Fleas!
Bye-bye, fleas.
Bye-bye, fleas.
Bye-bye, fleas.
Fleas are all gone.
Yeah! Yeah!
I love you.
You have removed disease.
I love you, Jar.
What did it taste like when we swallowed it, Troy? Did it taste
honey.
Good?
It tasted like it honey.
Tasted like honey.
Honey and sunshine.
Sunshine had a flavor.
So
it would be this ointment.
Assuming you guys...
It would be this viscous yellow fluid.
You guys keep moving on through this bog, and, you know, the day's wearing on a little bit. You know, you've got a decent tree cover above you, so it's just wet and gross, and you're, like, itchy, but not from the fleas anymore. You're just, like, from the bug bites and whatever else.
Yeah,
you feel stuff,
mosquitoes
you feel
and
stuff
sweat.
Crawling by your feet. And as the valley draws to a close, the swamp grasses begin to thicken, and the water begins to take on a ruddy tinge as the sediments shift from this blacky, like salty earth of the lowlands to the iron-rich clay of mountain soil. Just beyond the bog, you see, near the far end of the canyon, an enormous ancient brick structure. And leading up to it...
Wait, is it, it's above the water?
Above the water.
Oh, my God.
...is a shallow stone channel extending from an arch in the building's cracked and weathered front facade, from which flows a sluggish stream of ruddy mud.
Oh, wow.
In front of that, a broad stone patio surrounds the channel with doors on either side. Oh. Leading in. Oh.
An elderly gentleman is drinking a mint julep on the patio.
Oh, we don't get many travelers around here. I'll see you next week.
Oh. We found it!
It's like a ducky derby.
Care for a mint julep?
Would you like to bet on the ponies today, boys?
The Glass Cannon Podcast is a Powerhouse and Tate production and is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Giant Slayer is copyright 2015. Giant Slayer and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.